Here's Pastor Brian as he continues this week's study.
Welcome to the program today, and all this week we have been looking at the role of the Pope in Roman Catholic theology and trying to examine that in light of Scripture. And for the next 2 days, I want to examine this concept in light of church history itself, in looking at what certain popes have declared and taught and decreed in contrast to others, showing that there is not a line of infallible popes from Peter on to the present pope. Let me pass on a little bit of history that before the year 590 AD, with the ascension of Gregory the Great, there was no central authority in Rome. It wasn't until the 10th century AD, when the church split into the Eastern and Western churches, that there was an actual Roman Catholic church, where the Bishop of Rome became the leader or the head over all other bishops. And the term Catholic itself was first used by Ignatius, who wrote a letter to the Church of Smyrna about 100 AD, where he wrote this term: where the bishop is, there let the multitude of believers be. Even where Jesus Christ is, there is the Catholic Church. Now, the term Catholic simply means universal, the church around the world, not just the local church. He didn't say there is the Roman Catholic Church. And remember, he's writing to Smyrna, not to the church at Rome. And he says, there is the Catholic Church. And so as Christians, we believe in the Catholic Church in the sense that there's a universal church around the world. We do not believe in the Roman Catholic Church, where there's centralized authority in Rome, and that the Bishop of Rome, or the leader of the church at Rome, has authority over the entire church. So the term Catholic was first used by Christians to describe basically the entire church. Let me also read to you from the Roman Catholic Catechism on the authority of the church. The question is asked, are all people bound to belong to the Roman Catholic Church? All are bound to belong to the church, and he who knows the church to be the true church and remains out of it cannot be saved. Why are all bound to belong to the church? All are bound to belong to the church because Christ founded it for all nations, for all times, and it alone possesses the means that is necessary for salvation. And so the Roman Catholic Church claims that it is the church that alone has the means that are necessary for salvation. And one of the main claims is that that authority has been passed on from Peter to the successive bishops of Rome, now to the present day Pope, and that the Pope possesses infallibility when he speaks on the subject of faith and morals. I want to offer you conclusive proof throughout church history over the next 2 days, quoting from popes that contradict one another. And we'll actually see that Scripture and tradition have often contradicted each other in the Roman Catholic Church. And this could be seen in the fact that popes have disagreed with other popes, councils have disagreed with other councils, doctors have disagreed with other doctors, church fathers with other church fathers. And there's numerous examples which could be cited to prove this point. Let me mention a few of them. At one time, the church had three popes. It was called the Great Western Schism from 1378 to 1417. And according to the Oxford Dictionary of the Christian Church, there has been 35 antipopes, those which are in a position of pope but should not be. 35 different individuals have been given that title. Second of all, Pope Gregory I, who was from 590 through 604, reproached John the Faster of Constantinople for calling himself universal bishop, which is another term for the pope. Third, church councils have contradicted each other. The councils of Constant, Pisa, and Basel declared that a council, a church council, is above a pope, while the council at Florence and the Fifth Council of Lateran declared against it. Fourth example is Pope Honorius was condemned as a heretic by an infallible council, the Sixth General Council, in 681 AD for teaching that Jesus Christ only had one will, in contrast to what the church has proclaimed, that he was both human and divine. He had a divine will as well as a human will. Now, the bottom line here, and I'm going to quote several other contradictions that are obvious throughout church history, is that you cannot have two authorities because eventually they're going to contradict one another and they're going to mutually exclude each other. This is a problem that the Pharisees had in holding on to tradition, where Jesus said in Mark chapter 7, verses 12 and 13, the following: "And you no longer let him do anything for his father or his mother, making the word of God of no effect through your tradition which you have handed down, and many such things you do." And so they had two authorities. They had the word of God plus tradition, but the problem was tradition was elevated over the scripture. And in effect, Jesus says, you make the word of God of no effect, literally null and void. That's exactly what has happened with the Roman Catholic Church, is that the Word of God has now become subject to the popes and councils and decrees and tradition, and the Word of God has been made of no effect in certain areas. It's been null and void as to some of the obvious contradictions which popes have made in light of the clear teaching of Scripture. You only have one final authority that we could come to, and that is the Word of God itself. That's the way Jesus conducted his life and his ministry, and we'll be wise to do the same. Let me move on to quoting some more specific examples of where popes have contradicted one another. And in December 8, 1854, the church declared that Mary was bodily assumed into heaven. Let me read to you a statement from Pope Pius IX, who on December 8, 1854, declared that Mary was bodily assumed into heaven and was born without sin. He said the following: "The doctrine which declares that the most blessed Virgin Mary, the first instance of her conception, by a singular grace and privilege of Almighty God, in view of the merits of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the human race, was preserved exempt from all stain of original sin, is a doctrine revealed by God and therefore must be believed firmly and constantly by all the faithful." So what we have is their declaration that Mary was without sin. Now let me read to you from four other popes which refute this claim. Reading from Leo I, the Pope of Rome, he said, "The Lord Jesus Christ alone among the sons of men was born without sin." Pope Gelatus said the following: "It belongs alone to the Immaculate Lamb to have no sin at all." Gregory I said, "For Christ alone was truly born holy in order that he might overcome this condition of corruptible nature and was not conceived after the manner of men." And Innocent III completely contradicts this dogma that was declared in 1854 when he said, "Eve was produced without sin, but she brought forth in sin. Mary was brought forth in sin, but she brought forth without sin." Those statements completely contradict the dogma that was declared in 1854 that Mary was without sin. So you have popes directly contradicting one another throughout history. It's obvious that the Pope does not possess infallibility when he speaks on the subject of faith and morals. At this point, I want to read to you 23 different contradictions that the popes have made, and I will mention their names, and they may not mean too much to you, but what I want you to see is that I am not making this up. This is even in Catholic literature, the evidence of these decisions that popes have made, and I will give an explanation of the doctrines that are mentioned here. So I want to give you 23 different contradictions that the popes have made over the history of the church. Pope Victor approved of Montanism and then condemned it. Montanism was an extreme group related to the Holy Spirit. Number two, Silenus was an idolater when he entered the temple of Vesta and offered incense. Three, Liberius approved of the condemnation of Athanasius and protected Arianism. And Athanasius was the one defending the deity of Jesus Christ, and Arius was a bishop in the church saying that Jesus Christ was a created being. And Liberius actually approved of Arianism, which is the modern-day Jehovah's Witnesses. Number four, Gregory I called anyone an antichrist who takes on the name of universal bishop. Number five, Boniface III made the patricide emperor Phocas confer this title upon him. Number six, Paschal II and Eugerius III authorized dueling, and Julius II and Pius III forbid it. Number seven, Eusebius IV approved of the Council of Basel and reinstated the chalice, but Pius II revoked it. Number eight, Pope Honorius was condemned as a heretic for teaching the monothelitic heresy, or the idea that there was only one will in the person of Christ. Number nine, Clement XIV abolished the order of the Jesuits, which was permitted by Paul III. Pius VII reestablished it. Number 10, Pope Vigilius purchased the papacy from Basilarius, as did Pope Eugenius III. Number 11, Pope John XXIII was accused of simony and immorality and deposed by the Council of Constance. Number 12, Sixtus V recommended Bible reading, while Pope Pius VII condemned it. Number 13, Pope Paul V and Urban VIII tortured and imprisoned Galileo for teaching that the earth revolves around the sun. Number 14, Innocent III claimed the right to depose kings, ordered the extermination of heretics, started the Inquisition, ordered massacres, condemned the Magna Carta, and forbid the reading of Bible in the common language. Number 15, Innocent the Fourth authorized the torture of suspected heretics to extract confessions. Number 16, Nicholas V authorized war on African peoples and their enslavement. Number 17, Sixtus IV sanctioned the Spanish Inquisition. Number 18, Leo X declared that the burning of heretics was a divine appointment. Number 19, Clement XI issued a papal bull against Bible reading. Number 20, Leo XII condemned all religious freedoms, tolerance, Bible societies, and Bible translations. 21, Pius IX decreed papal infallibility, condemned separation of church and state, denounced freedom of speech, freedom of the press, and decreed the Immaculate Conception and proclaimed the right to suppress heresy by force. Leo XII claimed that Protestants were enemies of the Christian name. And 23, Pope Pius XI condemns public schools in 1930. I read through this list to offer you logical and reasonable proof that the Pope is not infallible. Now, we have been doing a number of studies on the Roman Catholic Church, and if you'd like to get these on tape, we'd be more than glad to help you in that. You could call us at the number that will be mentioned at the end of the program, or you could visit our website at www.calvarylm.org. And we're also offering, if you are part of the Roman Catholic Church, all these tapes free if you would simply call or write to us and ask for them, so you could study them on your own and to see if what your church has taught you lines up with the Word of God.